responses. And I want us to look at something that I'm sure you will find unusual. John chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse 9. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. John chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper. And he laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, our Father, we thank you for this service this morning, this place we have to worship. God, these folks that have come out as a congregation, as a family of faith. Father, to unite our hearts together and our voices together to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Father, that we have this refuge. We have this place that we can come to on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, other times during the week for special meetings. That, God, we can come here and escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, as the Bible describes it. And Father, we're thankful for the fellowship of the saints. We pray, God, you'd bless it here this morning. Father, I pray as your word is proclaimed that you would open up each and every one of our hearts and, Father, challenge us here today. God, if we're not challenged by you, we kind of waste our time. Father, if we just come and hear some things and walk out the door and go home and are never motivated, never challenged, never convicted, God, you haven't worked your purpose in our life. So I pray you'd do so here this morning. We pray most of all, should there be one today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that God, you'd speak especially to that heart today and show them their need for Jesus Christ, their need for forgiveness of sin. And Father, we pray you'd help that one to trust Christ today. For we that are saved, encourage us, challenge us, help us, God, to be motivated to serve you and to love you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you want to be used by God? I'm not asking if you want the missionaries to be used, if you want the preacher to be used, if you want the Sunday school teachers to be used, the nursery workers to be used, the musicians to be used. I'm asking you a question personally. Do you, in your life, in your circumstances, in your conditions, in your situation, do you desire to be used of God? That's a legitimate question because obviously some people have no interest and no desire in being used by God. For young people, many times they're focused on dreams, focused on ambitions. There's goals in their life, and they got those things before them, and serving God is simply not in the equation. For those in the Middle Ages, not the Middle Ages, but those that are not young and they're in their Middle Ages, busy with demanding responsibilities of providing and of parenting, of raising a family and paying the mortgage and making sure that things are taken care of. We get focused on those things, and those take a lot of our time and take a lot of our energy. They're not sinful things. They're not even distracting things. They're things that we have to do in this life. If a man provide not for his own household, the Bible says, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We have to be laborious. We have to be working hard to provide for those. And sometimes we get so caught up in that, we forget that we want to be used by God. For those that are in the older group, nearing retirement or retired, ready to sit back, ready to relax, ready to reap the benefits of many long, hard, tedious years sown, sometimes we get focused on those things and forget that there's still an obligation, there's still an ability, there's still a privilege of being used by God. So I ask the question this morning, do you want to be used of God? Regardless of what age group you fall in, regardless of the responsibilities for life, God wants to use each and every one of us in some way. Not all to be preachers or missionaries or something that's even in the limelight, but in every individual life, God desires to have an impact in that life, a part in that life, so that we can, whatever else we're doing, we can serve Him in this life. You know, it's good to know that it doesn't take a lot to be used by God. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to have a lot of abilities, a lot of smarts. You don't have to have a certain type A personality to be used by God. In fact, most of the time, God seems to bypass those folks and use the rest of us that don't have all of those talents and smarts and abilities and personality. And I'm thankful that God chooses to use those kind of people. It was Moses who said, "Lord, not me. I'm not eloquent. I'm not of good speech." Yet God used him. It was Gideon that God came down and chose, and he said, "Lord, not me. I'm the least in all of my family and all of my household." Yet God used him. David was the youngest son of Jesse, a simple shepherd boy, yet God used him. Daniel was a teenager when taken away from Babylon into the land of taken away from Jerusalem into the land of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, and yet he with his three teenage friends all were used greatly by God. The disciples in the New Testament, the Bible tells us, were unlearned and ignorant men, and yet they were greatly used by God. It seems like God tends to use those that don't have great natural ability, great education or signs. That's the ones that God's most able to use for His honor and glory. John just sang the song, "O little town," or "O town of the star of Bethlehem." And the Bible tells us in Micah chapter 5, 2, one of the verses we're going to be looking at in the next week or so as Christmas comes, "And thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be littlest, though thou be little of the thousands of Judah," God chose Bethlehem, not Jerusalem, not Jericho, not the big place, but the little things. God chose. I'm thankful that God wants to use simple things. He wants to use simple people. The only thing is we've got to be willing to be used. You know, God has used some interesting things in the past. There's a story you remember in the Old Testament where God used a donkey to warn a wayward Christian. I use that term loosely, Balaam. God used a donkey to warn him that he was going against God. You know, God could use you and I to do the same thing. He can use you and I to be a warning. When we say being used of God, again, it doesn't mean you have to be a proclaimer of the gospel, a preacher, something like that. All He wants to do is use you in your lot in life, wherever you are. Use you so that you can be a warning to others. Hey, that's not a good direction to go. Hey, that's not a good thing. God could use a donkey to do that. I think we could qualify as being used of God. There was a time where He sent one of His prophets who had pronounced the judgment, sent him out to a ravine, out to the mountainside while a great time of famine was came, and God sent a raven to bring him food in the morning. God used a dirty bird, a raven, to take care, to provide. I think God could use us to do that. God could use us to provide for someone. Now, I'm not talking about providing for your kids, for your family. I'm talking about providing for others. Being used of God as God has blessed us, that we can turn around and be a blessing to somebody else that has no way of getting that blessing. If God could use a raven, a dirty bird, to provide and give nourishment and give that, God could use you and I in our life somehow to be a blessing to other people, to be a provision in their life. I remember a time in the Old Testament where God used a fish. He used a whale. He used that whale to correct a prophet that was going in the wrong direction. Sometimes God can use you and I to be correction in the lives of other people. He can use our witness and our testimony, not so much in a harsh and a judgmental tone, though there's sometimes that needs to be communicated that way, but sometimes just in love and in chastisement and in correction, saying, "Oh, that's not the right way to go. That's not the direction to go." And we can be used by God to help others who are walking in a wrong direction. Seeing being used of God doesn't mean getting a position or getting a title. It simply means being used of God. One time God used a gourd. You know what a gourd is? Kind of like a squash. Now, if God can use a squash or a gourd, He can use anything. And he used that gourd to cover the head of a prophet and show him that though he had care for the people of Nineveh, he didn't have as much care for them as he did the gourd, if you remember the story. God used that gourd to rebuke that prophet. God sent it so many times can use us not only to encourage folks, not only to correct folks, but sometimes to rebuke people. God wants to use our life. Are we willing? Are we wanting to be used by God? Or do we just say, hey, I'm living my life. I'm doing my thing. I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. But just leave me alone. I want to do what I want to do. See, that's why I asked the question, do you want to be used by God? Because a lot of folks will simply answer the question this way. No. Not interested. Don't want to be used. And can I tell you this? God won't use you if you don't want to be used. God won't force you to do anything. God never forces anybody to do anything. He never forces anybody to get saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's not willing that any should perish. And if God wanted to, He could put a chokehold on every lost sinner and force them to trust Christ as Savior. But He never does that. It's always a free will. It's always a decision to trust Christ. The same thing comes of serving God, of being used by God. He never forces us. He never pins us into a corner or puts us in a spot where we have to. He simply says, I want to use you. I want to bless you. I want to use you to have an impact on other people that'll matter not just for lifetime but for eternity. If He can use a donkey and a whale and a gourd, He can use you and I. I said all that to bring us to John chapter 13. Now most folks, when you read John chapter 13, you know the story. The Lord takes a towel and He washes the disciples' feet. And we put all the focus on washing the feet. And a lot of folks, some traditionally and some folks even today, there are some denominations, some churches that practice foot washing. The reason we don't is simply what He said to Peter in verse number 7, Jesus answered and said to Peter, what I do thou knowest not now. Now, didn't Peter know he was washing his feet? So again, the focus is not on the washing of the feet. He's not teaching, here's something I want you to do from here on out. The focus is not on the foot washing service. He said, what I'm doing now, Peter, you don't know. But you're going to know it later. You know what Jesus was doing? He was being used by God. He was serving others. And I want you to notice what He used in this process of serving God for the benefit of others. Notice in verse 4, He riseth from supper, and He laid aside His garments, and He took a towel. Verse number 5, and after that He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. And all the things that we look for and all the things we notice in this story, I want you to notice, if one thing was taken out, this story doesn't happen. And that one thing is something insignificant. That one thing is an inanimate object. It's not even a donkey or a raven or a whale or a gourd. It's not a person. It's a towel. A common, ordinary towel. But without it, the disciples' feet don't get washed. Well, without it, the disciples' feet don't get cleansed. That towel is a picture to you and I of being used by God. It was used to perform a wonderful task. Don't you and I desire to be used by God to perform a wonderful task? This towel was used to wipe the disciples' feet. Could you imagine what that towel would be worth on eBay today? This is the towel. It's probably in some Catholic church somewhere. This is the towel that was used to wipe the disciples' feet. And yet it was used for a brief period of time and then cast aside and never mentioned again. And yet for that one moment, it was used in a very wonderful story that's come down to us 2,000 years later. It was used to perform a wonderful task. It was used to teach a tremendous lesson. And that lesson is what we're going to look at this morning about that towel, an inanimate object, but how it was used by God for a certain purpose and a certain service at a certain time, and it was used to be an encouraging example. I want to encourage you today to be like a towel. And I told you at the beginning, I'm going to teach you something that you've never heard before, probably. I want you to be like a towel. That's one of those, you know, motivational things you don't hear those motivational people saying. They'll say, you know, be a racehorse. You know, be a giant for God. I'm going to tell you, be a towel. You say, preacher, what in the world do you mean? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I want us to get this morning some lessons in being used by God by this towel. Number one, if you want to be used by God, you have to be in Jesus' hands. If you want to be used by God, you have to be in Jesus' hands. That towel could perform many different functions and various functions, but it wasn't till it got into the hands of Jesus that it was used by God. I don't know the history of that towel. I don't know if it was a brand new towel. I don't know if it was a recycled towel. I don't know if it had been used before and washed again. But I know that it never had a purpose or never had a service as grand and glorious as the service it served when it was put into the hands of Jesus Christ. Keep your place here in John. Turn back just a couple of verses, a couple of pages. Look at John chapter 10. If you want to be used of God, you have to be in Jesus' hands. There are a lot of folks doing a lot of good things. There are a lot of community service events we can participate in and take place in. And there's nothing wrong with those things. Many of those things are good. They serve a civic or a community need. That's all fine. But you know what? That's not serving God. A lot of folks like to write that off as serving God. That's not serving God. What we do in serving God is what we do when we're in His hands. Not what others are capable of doing. This towel could have been used by other people up to this point, and it was simply a towel. But when it was put into the hands of God to perform a spiritual service, not a natural service, it became used of God, and the reward comes accordingly. You and I are saved. We're in the hands of God. Look at John chapter 10, verse number 27. John chapter 10, you know the verse. John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28, "And I give to them eternal life." I hope this morning that you know you have eternal life. You know, if you know that, you've got the lost world beat by a multitude. In fact, if you know that, you've got a lot of religious people beat by a long way. Because there's a lot of church going, quote-unquote God-serving, quote-unquote Christian people that don't know that they have eternal life. And they're laboring or they're working or they're believing or they're doing whatever they can, and they hope they have eternal life and they want to have eternal life. But Jesus said, "I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand." When you got saved, you got put into the hand of the Father. When you got saved, your life was ripped out of the possession of the devil and given to God. A lot of folks don't understand that today, that a lost person is in the hand of the devil. They say, "Well, I don't want to get saved. I don't want to trust God. I don't want to get involved in church because I don't want anybody telling me how to live my life and what to do." I got news for you. You've already got somebody telling you what to do. You've already got somebody dictating how to live your life. But it's not God. And when we get saved, when a lost sinner gets saved, I mean, whether it's at their dinner table at home or whether it's an altar of the church, the minute somebody bows their head and sincerely says, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell, but I know Jesus died for me and I ask Him to come into my heart." When they do that in sincerity, you know what's going on that we don't see? There's a transaction taking place. They're being taken away from the devil and being handed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you and I get saved, we are in the hand of God. Let me ask you this morning, do you know you're in the hand of God? Remember the old commercials? Is it Allstate? You're in good hands with Allstate. I don't want to be in Allstate's hands. I want to be in God's hands. And the Bible said in verse number 28, And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. When you're saved, you're safe and secure in the hand of God. A lot of folks don't believe that. A lot of folks don't understand that. And they go around worrying about their own salvation. You can't be used of God in the life of others if you don't have security yourself. If you're walking around wondering, I don't know if I've got it. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I know. I think I trusted Him. I think I prayed the prayer. I think I'm all right. If you're so confused about that, you can't be used of God for somebody else. You've got to have your salvation and security down yourself. You're in the Father's hand. You're in the Father's hand. You think God's going to drop you? You think the God that created everything in Genesis chapter 1 is going to let you slip through His fingers? Somebody says, well, I can get out there. You're not stronger than God. When he birthed you and adopted you into His family, He made you one of His own. Don't think you're going to get out of that. We have to have that security. We have to know that we're in Jesus' hands so that we can be used by Him. We have to know we're in His hands for service. You know, a towel can be used for various functions. I asked my wife last night, name me some kinds of towels. She Googled it. There's bath towels, there's hand towels, there's beach towels. I like that one. There's kitchen towels. They said there were sports towels. I think that's, for you Pittsburgh Steelers fans, I think that's called a terrible towel. There are all kinds of towels. And they all have a different place of service. You usually don't use the beach towel when you're doing dishes. You usually don't use the bath towel to wash your car. There are different towels for different functions, and God has put in the church a whole bunch of towels that are designed for a specific service. And you and I simply need to know what service we're designed for. What service we've been fabricated for, that we might use our lives to serve God. The towel's function is not normally a spiritual function, is it? The towel's function is simply to take care of the need that's there. But even that can be used for a spiritual function. We need to put our efforts into serving God. Now, I'm not saying quit every organization, quit every club, quit everything out there. But I'm just saying this. Let's put the effort into being used by God that we put into other things that are of less importance and less necessity and less rewarding in eternity. Where are we expending our energy? Where are we putting our efforts? Whose hands are we in? The towel, when it was in the hands of Jesus, was used for a great thing. There's so many examples of that. We've heard them. Brother Rogers preached recently, and I think I alluded last week to the story of the lad with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And as long as they were in the lad's hands, it was enough lunch for one small lad. But when those 5 loaves and 2 fishes were put into the hands of Jesus, and He broke them, it was enough to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. See, it all depends on whose hands it's in. How often do you and I ask, God, use me today? God, I'm in Your hands. I want to be used by You in my job situation, among my friends, among my family, wherever I am. God, I want to be used by You. You can be used in it if you're in Jesus' hands. Notice the second lesson this towel gives us. That is, not only to be used of God do we need to be in Jesus' hands, but to be used of God we have to be readily available. We have to be readily available. In verse number 4, the Bible says, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel. He took a towel. Notice, He knew where to find it. When he got up from supper being ended, when He got up, He knew where to go to find the towel. It wasn't in a mysterious place. It wasn't difficult to find. It wasn't in the wrong place. It was right where it belonged. Have you ever been frustrated by not being able to find something where it's supposed to be? You get out and you open the cabinet, and you go to grab a towel, and there's no towels there. That just kind of throws the whole schedule off, doesn't it? Now you've got to stop and go find out. At our home, on rare occasion, I get out and open the cabinet and there's no towel there. They've been washed and clean and are in the hamper, been folded, haven't been put in there. And it just kind of ruins the whole schedule of things when something is not where it's supposed to be. When Jesus came out and supper was ended, he reached to get that towel and it's right where he thought it would be. It's right where he was supposed to find it. It was in the right place. And if we want to be used by God, we have to be readily available. Are we making ourselves available to God? Are we in the right place? Are we walking with him daily so he can find us when he needs us? Are we hidden to God? Are we a mystery? Now I understand, God is God. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He knows where we're at. But it's a matter of making ourselves available to him. Of saying, God, I want to be used by you. God, I want to be in your hands. We've got to make ourselves available. Look back, if you would, at the book of Isaiah chapter 6. The book of Isaiah chapter 6. You're probably familiar, most of us know the story of Isaiah chapter 6 because it's the story where Isaiah says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 5 and verse number 8. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." God was looking for a towel. He was looking for someone he could use. He wanted someone that was readily available. And he found Isaiah. Well, where did he find him? Look back at chapter 6 and verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." You know where Isaiah was when God called him? He was in the temple. He was in the place of worship of God. He was in the place of service to God. And when God wanted to find him, he found him in the right place. And he chose him to do the right service. You say, well, I don't see that. Look over at Acts chapter 13. The book of Acts in the New Testament. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 1. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord." Where? Verse number 1. "There were in the church. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." When God wanted to send out the first missionaries from the church in the book of Acts, you know where he looked? He looked where they were available. He looked where he would find them. He looked where they were in their place. He looked in the church. He looked in the place of worship. Now, I know it's very popular in our day to say, well, I can worship God and I don't have to be in church to do it. Can I say this? If you want to be used of God, you've got to be in the place where God's going to use you. God doesn't call somebody to his service at the mechanic's garage. God doesn't call someone into his service while they're flipping hamburgers. Now that doesn't make those things wrong. You understand what I'm saying. But God speaks to hearts according to what I just read in the Bible. God has called men and spoken to them and motivated them to give themselves to God when they were readily available in the place where they're expected to be, so that when God looked to find them, there they were. Does God find you where you belong? Are you making yourself available to him? Do you want to be used by God? Or you can be honest and say, preacher, I'm not interested. I've got my life. I've got my business. I've got my responsibilities. I've got those things I need to do and take care of. I'm not really worried about being used by God. Well, you've got a separate issue to deal with. To be used of God, you've got to be readily available. He knew where to find the towel. And I want to say something else, and it's going to sound humorous when I say it. The towel didn't resist. Now, had it resisted, we'd have a whole other story to talk about. Peter reached for that towel, and that towel got up and ran away. That'd have been a good plot for a Disney movie, some kind of cartoon or something. But that towel did not resist the hand of God. When God reached to get it and reached to grab it, the towel did not fight back. The towel did not tug back. The towel did not pull back. And I know what you're saying, preacher, it's a towel. It can't tug back. It can't resist. It can't pull back. But neither should you or I be able to. When God reaches forth His hand of love and grace and says, I want to use you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to make you a blessing to other people and not just yourself. We should have no more resistance than a towel does, than a donkey did, than a raven did, than a whale did. But you know what our problem is? We've got one of these. We've got a brain. And we think it out first. And we put all the logic into it and all the reasoning in it. And we say, well, God, I can't do that because this and because... Isn't that what Jonah did? Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And verse number 34. As Christians, we should not be able to resist God also. He's called us to salvation. Those of us, the majority of us, if not all of us that are here, have yielded to that. He called us to salvation, and we believed, we trusted Him. Well, now He's calling us to service in some way. He didn't save us just to leave us here to endure to the end and exist. He left us here to serve Him by serving others. But it's up to us whether we do it. Look in Luke chapter 13 and verse 34. Jesus is sitting on the hillside outside of the city of Jerusalem. And He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings. Jesus said, how oft would I have? Wouldn't it be better to be in the hand of God? He said, as a chicken doth gather her brood under her, wouldn't it be under the wing? Be better to be under the wings and protective arms of God? Who would say no to that? But the last four words said, and ye would not. And ye would not. You know what our problem is? Unlike the towel that Jesus grabs and says, I'm going to use this for a specific service. I'm going to use this for a divine purpose. And the towel is a towel. It just lays there. It can't resist. You and I, when God reaches for us, we say, well, wait a minute. Let me think about this. Well, wait a minute. I haven't prayed about this yet. You don't have to pray about serving God. You don't have to pray about being used by God. You have to pray if you're not willing to be, because you're in a dangerous position. Making yourself unavailable to God is a dangerous position. If we want to be used of God, we have to make ourselves available. Then thirdly and lastly, if we want to be used of God, we have to be clean. If we want to be used of God, we have to be clean. I'm going to step out on a limb here, but I'm going to guess that the towel that Jesus used to wipe the disciples' feet was not a dirty towel. It was not soiled or grimy. It was not filthy. It was a clean towel. He grabbed it and he girded himself with it. He tucked it under his belt as he began to wash their feet, and then he pulled it out when he's done and began to wipe their feet with it. God never uses an unclean vessel. He never uses an unclean vessel. He never uses a dirty towel. He can use a deformed towel. He can use one that came from Gabriel Brothers and has some sewing stitched wrong somewhere. It says supposed to say super 8, and it says spoor 8. He can use something that's deformed, but he won't use something that's dirty. And if we want to be used by God, we've got to be clean. Say, preacher, how can I be clean? How can I make sure? Now, I'm not talking about being sinless. You and I can't be sinless. But I'm talking about being morally pure. I'm talking about being mentally pure. We need to be clean before God. If you're going to be clean, you know what you got to do? You got to shower every day. Now, I'm not talking about physically, though I highly recommend that. But I'm talking about spiritually. We clean our bodies every day physically because we want to keep them clean. We want to keep the odor down. We want to keep the dirt off. So imagine what happens when we go day to day to day to day without cleansing ourselves spiritually. I wonder how many people in this auditorium right now, if God walked through this room. Now, if you had somebody here this morning, and we've had this in the past, if you had somebody here in the morning that hadn't bathed for a couple of days, you'd be able to pick them out pretty quick. You'd be able to smell something's not just right. And then the closer you got to that certain place, the more you would know where the problem was coming from. Now, I dare say there's not that problem here in the auditorium this morning. But I wonder if God were to come down and walk up around through this building and smell us spiritually and know who got cleansed this morning and who got cleansed yesterday and who got cleansed the day before and who didn't. I wonder if God walked through here, if he might walk up to you and say, wow, you need a bath. You need to get clean. You need a shower. You say, preacher, how do I get that way? Well, John chapter 15, verse 3 says, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John 15, 3. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You know how you and I get clean? We get clean by this word right here. And we need it every single day. It doesn't benefit me one single iota for you to read your Bible or not read your Bible every day. It doesn't affect me at all. It affects you because it makes you either dirty or clean. When we go a day or two without getting into the Word of God and reading the Word of God, can I tell you, it's as if you didn't bathe for 2 or 3 days. Now, no other human being necessarily is going to notice when you don't do it spiritually, but I got news for you. God in heaven does. And he says, well, something stinks. Something smells rotten around here. We've got his word. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, and I'm giving you these for time's sake. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. By the word. Don't be a dirty towel. God doesn't use a dirty vessel. You've got to be clean. And the word of God cleanses. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Do you want to be used by God? You got to be clean. Turn, if you would, to 1 John. You're in the Gospel of John, but go back all the way toward the book of Revelation. Go to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Can I tell you, 1 John is not written like the book of Romans. It's not written to unsaved people to try to get them saved. When Paul wrote to Rome, he said he gave them the plan of salvation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be... That's not in 1 John. It's not written to unbelievers. It's written to believers. It's written to those that have seen, those that have heard, those that have handled, the Bible says. And so verse 8, he's writing to Christians and says, if we say that we have no sin. If you bathe in the morning, and you bathe yesterday morning. The minute you got out and walked across your floor, your feet began to get dirty again. You put your clothes on and went out the front door. The minute you went out the door into the air, you began to get dirty again. As you went through the day and used your body to perform different things, your hands got grimy. Your different parts of your body, I'm not going to get too exact, different parts of your body began to sweat or perspire, and you got dirty. It's the natural process of life. So the next morning you got up and did it all over again. You got clean again. You say, why should I do that? I'm just going to get dirty again. You do it because it's the right thing to do. Spiritually, the minute you walk out the door of your house in the morning, you go out into this world, you're getting dirty. The things you hear, the things you see, the people you rub shoulders with, everything in this life makes you spiritually dirty. You sin. He said in verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You know what I'm looking at, folks? I'm looking at a congregation full of sinful people. I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm not questioning your faith in Christ, but I know this. Even after you got saved, you went from a lost sinner to a saved sinner. And if you want to be clean before God, you've got to get into His Word every single day. And then verse 9 says this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. Now that confession is not you to me to you, or you to any other human being. Sins are to be confessed to God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But the Bible tells us if we want to be clean so that we can be used of God, we've got to have daily fellowship with God. We've got to be in His Word. We've got to be praying and confessing to Him and staying clean if we want to be used by God. That towel is a wonderful example, though an inanimate object. It's a wonderful example of something that can be used by God for His service. Do you want to be used by God? You have to be in His hands. You want to be used by God, you've got to make yourself readily available. You want to be used by God, you've got to keep yourself clean. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.